Well, it's good once again to be holding the microphone in close proximity to Pastor Bruce Hood, founder and director of Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno. Feed My Sheep, the central satellite location. Well, that's not satellite. That's a central location at Lemon and Plumas in West Fresno, where a whole lot of ministry goes on to that neighborhood. But Feed My Sheep is so many other things. A men's rehab program, a shelter for women and children, a place to connect people with jobs, entrepreneurship, on and on and on. Outreach into the community. Bruce Hood, we missed each other last week, but here we are on a cold, gray, foggy Friday morning recording the program. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, here we are again. And it's always good to see your smiling face and just be around Ken Adams. If you never been around Ken Adams, you need to be around Ken Adams. He's such a character.
Well, thank you, I think.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that, Bruce. Talking with some other friends, it's like it's a sense of humor that helps us survive. Because without that all-important sense of humor, we probably would have packed it up a long time ago.
Wouldn't life be miserable if there wasn't someone with a sense of humor?
Exactly. And the key to it is, first and foremost, I need to be able to laugh at myself.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Yeah. One guy said it like this. He told me, the reason I smile so much is to keep from crying.
There you go. Yeah, and I have found that out over trials and tribulations of the past few years. The line between hilarious laughter and sobbing, weeping is a very thin line. I mean, you've heard of people saying they laughed till they cried, and the opposite is true. Sometimes people are crying to the point where they start laughing, and that is a very thin line. That seems to be the same emotional reservoir there.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
And I'm sure nobody listening to the broadcast really has anything that they're tempted to cry about in their lives. There's no problems, there's no struggles, there's no pressures in life today, are there?
I wish that was true, but obviously it's not.
Again, in the red ink in the New Testament, Jesus speaking, I would always prefer he said, if tribulation comes. What does he say?
Doesn't it say when tribulation comes?
Oh, when. I'd rather if.
Yeah, I know. We all want it like that, but, you know, God just didn't make it like it, Ken.
He's trying to build spiritual muscle, man, and unfortunately the only way to build those spiritual muscles is to exercise them.
Yes. Yes. That's just our... what we got to do.
That's what we got to do. We got no choice. You know, you're either in God's army full time, or you're being taken as a prisoner of war by the enemy. There's no in between.
No in between.
So as we record this, you're coming off a very successful Martin Luther King Jr. holiday celebration, and that was this past Monday. Tell me about it.
Well, like last year and the year before, those people that they're really in touch with the life of Dr. King, meet up, and we have a march. We had a march from St. John's Cathedral, and we made one stop at City Hall, and there at City Hall we had some of the dignitaries that shared a word with us there from City Hall. And from there, we marched over to Veterans Memorial Building. That's where it was pretty much most of the day a celebration, and different speakers and singers and people like that. And we just celebrated the dream of Dr. King. And it was good. It was good. There was quite a few people showed up. It flowed like water. You felt a lot of love there, and a lot of concern. There was a diversity of different nationalities of people, It was the black folk, the white folk, the Hispanic, the Asian, the Chinese, you name it. They was some of everybody was all there, and the reason they were there because they believed in the dream.
That is such a key, and folks might think that when you hear about I Have a Dream and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you think, well, yeah, that's something that grew out of the civil rights movement of the late 50s and early 60s. That is true, but what Dr. King embraced was the dignity of humanity, again, from a very biblical perspective, a very plugged-in man of God. And as time goes on and the decades have rolled on, more than ever, that perspective is needed because we're just, as human beings, tempted to dismiss folks, not only based upon the color of their skin, but upon their economic situation. It's like, well, that person's not important, but this other person is important.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing we know for sure about Dr. King, that he was a man of God. He was a strong Baptist preacher, brother. He believed in God, and the movement, what he was involved in, we know that it was inspired by God, that it was something God was doing through his life to make change in this whole world. And because of Dr. King's commitment for equality and freedom and love and all those things that he stood for. It's a better world for me and for you and everyone else today. It is, you know. And so that just goes to show you that, you know, how one man's commitment can make a big difference. We should never think that, you know, our little old whatever we're doing, it's not doing any good, or we can't make a difference. And, you know, sometimes we look at all the problems that the world has, and all the people, and all the people that's that's going the wrong way, and we think, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. The problem's just too big. It's just, that's not true. We can, you know, we can as one person, that's motivated by God, make a huge difference in this life we live.
That's how the entire Christian church spread throughout the entire world from day one about 2,000 years ago. It was one person connecting with another person who connected with someone else, and it just started spreading from there. The same is true today. We connect with one person, they're encouraged, they take it to somebody else. And it just keeps growing from there. So I know we've used the starfish analogy on the program before, but it's a fable. But a young boy walking along the seashore and sees hundreds and hundreds of starfish that were washed up on the shore, and they're going to die if they don't get back on the ocean. So the young man starts picking up one starfish at a time, throwing him back into the ocean. A cynical older man walks up and says, "Son, do you really think you're going to be able to save all those starfish?" He says, "No, I can't save them all, but I can sure make a difference on the ones I can make contact with."
That's right. That's right. And that's the same way it is too with our Christian life. We're making a difference, and sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't recognize it. But every step we take as a Christian, and every time we speak, there's something that God is doing to make an impact in other people's lives.
Sometimes when we're called upon to maybe speak somewhere or give a message, we think that's when God is really speaking through us. Well, that may be the case, but a lot of times, and I'm sure you've found this in your life many times, Bruce, it's the times where you're just speaking off the cuff from the Spirit of God in your heart, and that's what really connects with somebody.
Yeah. You know, and Toucan, you know, we've been studying in the book of Ephesians, and I think within the fourth chapter, last night, verse 17, you know, Paul had shared with the church of Ephesus to walk no more as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, and we talked about the lifestyle we live. And we talked about how effective we can be in other people's lives. And Pastor Troy, as we was having Bible study, he mentioned this. He works for a company, and I don't want to mention the name of the company. But anyway, the boss wanted to take all the men over to the city lights because, you know, they had all did a real good job, and I guess the company did well.
Those who don't know, City Lights is one of the topless bars in the city of Fresno. It's where men who have insatiable sexual appetites go and enjoy the, quote, show.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the men that worked there, the new Troy, he told his boss when the boss said that that he wanted to take him over there. And he told the boss, he said, Troy's not going to go. He said, I can tell you already, Troy is not it's not going to go.
His reputation precedes him.
That's right. That's right. He said, Troy is not going to go. He said, I'm going to tell you now, Troy is not going to go. And as Troy was explaining that to us last night, I was saying, man, I said, you know, I told Pastor Troy, I said, that's your testimony, brother.
Yeah.
I said, your testimony was real in that young man's life.
Yeah.
And that man knew you as a real man of God.
Yeah.
The light that God gave you was shining, brother.
Troy didn't have to say a word.
He didn't have to say a word, but he told his boss, Troy is not going to go. And I said, that's the reputation I want to have with people.
There you go.
You know what I mean? When it comes to things like that, they need to already know Bruce is not going to get involved.
Yeah. You don't have to generate a press release or hand out business cards. They already know what type of man you are.
Yeah, yeah. And so Troy shared with us also that same young man. I don't remember him coming to our church, but he said the same young man, he came to our church and he received the Lord. And now he's a deacon in another church and serving God faithfully. And it just all went back and came back to Troy's a testimony and the life he lived and how he lived his life in front of people. You know, and it's not so much of what we say to people, it's how we live.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I was listening to Vernon McGee.
Dave Vernon McGee.
Yeah, and so he said some good stuff, but there's some stuff I don't agree with.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but I like it. He's got some good teaching. He was saying that there was a man handing out some tracts. So he handed a tract to one gentleman. And the man he handed the track to told him, he said, I don't want to see the track in your hand. I want to see the track in your footsteps. You know, how are you living and what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's so important that we live the right life.
Yeah.
And we really took that scripture in verse 17 when Paul said, live no longer walk no more as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind.
Yeah.
And we thought about, you know, we born again. We saved. We may be a Gentile, but we've been saved.
But we're engrafted Jews once we're in Christ.
We engrafted Jews. But, you know, our nature needs to change. And, you know, and we need to live like we sons of God.
Yeah.
And I tell you, we had a good time with that scripture last night. We tossed that thing forward and backward, sideways, and we looked at one of the main purposes of living the right life is so we can be effective in other people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're not effective in other people's lives, we're not building the kingdom.
Yeah.
You see, and so.
One of my favorite expressions, and again, I may have shared this on the program before, too. I have that tendency. Old guys repeat themselves. But it goes something along the lines of, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear a word you were saying. Your actions were speaking too loudly.
Yeah, yeah. So very important that we live the right life, as people are watching us. And that's how most folk come into the kingdom. by looking at us, not so much listening to us, but by looking at us.
I've got a story like that. A gentleman that I worked with some years ago, he was a recovering alcoholic, been an alcoholic for a good number of years, but he finally got on the straight and narrow, and somebody that he had touched in an AA meeting, you know, okay, there was the talk, but sometime later, this gentleman spotted the teacher, the recovering alcoholic, at a party. And my friend did not know this other man was watching him, and he watched him to see what he was doing. And did he head over to the open bar? Did he get himself a drink? No, he went over and got a glass of water, and he said that spoke volumes to him that he was living it. He was walking it out.
Amen, amen. That's the life we all need to live, the life that walks it out.
Don't know who's watching. Again, like, it's a cliche, but you may be the only Jesus that somebody encounters.
That's right. So Dr. King was, the movement was a great success. And, you know, so every year there's more and more people that show up and get involved. And I love being part of that movement and part of the committee that puts together all the different activities we have over that period of time. And so I really enjoy working with that committee and doing what I do.
Anytime you can gather the community together and bring the diverse ethnic groups, like you said, black, white, red, brown, yellow, I'm all in favor of that. I don't believe, you said before yourself, Bruce, you don't want a black church, do you?
No, because that's not how heaven's going to look. It's not going to be just black folk there. I remember Mr. Workington. You remember I told you about Mr. Workington?
The guy who looked like Colonel Sanders, who called Bruce Hood out of a life of decadence.
Yeah, and wouldn't give up and wouldn't let up. You know, he just stayed on my trail. He told me about a dream when him and his wife was, when she was alive. She had went on to be at the Lord at that time. But him and her were both involved in real strong ministry. In fact, they was instrumental at building several churches around Fresno. And he shared with me that a dream that God had given his wife. In the dream, you know, she was lifted up from the earth up into the air. And she was looking down on the earth, and she seen a rainbow of colors, red, blue, black, white, pink, orange, yellow, all these colors in a rainbow. And then God spoke to her and said that these are all mine. And so he shared that with me of how that heaven's going to look and how that God has a children of all different nationalities and all different colors. And we got to remember that as we're going through life and as we serving God.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes the Dr. King movement kind of unique. It brings together all different people of color.
Right.
You know, and we can all agree in one thing, that love is the greatest of power that we can possess. And so that's one of the reasons that I stay right there.
Yeah.
And keep working with the Dr. King committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flows right in and it throughout the kingdom of God. It makes perfect sense. Well, as we segue to the last third of the program this week, you've got a lot of prayer requests, but I guess before we get to the prayer request, the lady we featured on the broadcast a few months ago, the one who started all this about a year ago with prayer requests, Frances Bailey, you've got some news on her, don't you?
Well, kind of sad news, but then it's glad news. The sad news is that Frances is no longer here with us. Frances left us about a week ago. But the great and the glad news is we know where she's at right now as we're speaking. And we know for sure that Frances Bailey is in the hand of the Lord right now. Her life proved it. Her commitment to the Lord. Her love for people. Her all she talked about in every conversation was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And so there's no doubt in my mind at all that she's not sitting in the kingdom right now.
There was nothing lukewarm about her passionate expression of how much she clung to Jesus.
Nothing at all. She wasn't ashamed at all. And she didn't care who was around, who was listening. She lifted up Jesus, brother, and kept him that way.
I remember back in October or November when we met at one of the Denny's in Fresno. She was there proselytizing the staff.
Oh, she does it everywhere. a lot of times I would take her to a cancer treatment over at that cancer treatment ward there across from St. Agnes Hospital. Everybody knew Frances there. Mm-hmm. They knew her, I'm telling you. And I think at one time they told her that she couldn't talk about Jesus no more there. Someone did. I don't know if it was the management or who.
I'm sure she handled that really well.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't have never said that, because she just even got more bolder, kind of like the blind man that was calling for Jesus, and they told him to be quiet. He just got louder. Boy, I tell you, we know where Frances is at, and I thank God for her. That God put her in my life, because I was able to see genuine, 100% Christianity in her life. She loved people. You never could hear her say nothing bad about no one or put nobody down. Her speech was always something good, and so. And she's at home today, Ken.
This is something that Bruce would probably not talk about, because he's not one to brag about this stuff, but I can go ahead and bring it up, being a disinterested third party, that the encounter with Frances Bailey, not only did it bless Bruce Hood in the ministry, but it was a blessing to Frances, because she required regular chemo treatments in Fresno, and Frances lived in Visalia. Well, that's a fair piece between those two cities. And it was either Bruce Hood himself or one of the trusted drivers of Feed My Sheep Ministries. Time and time and time again, you made the trek down to Visalia, picked up Frances, took her to her chemo treatment, drove her back to Visalia, and then made the return trip back to Fresno. That's ministry.
That's ministry. That's ministry. Seeing a need and then being willing to get up and help with that need. But Ken, overall though, she was more of a blessing to me. She taught me some things that I didn't know about Christianity. And I'm just grateful that, you know, that God had put in my life the time that she was in my life. And I know I'm gonna see her again.
Yeah. She's waiting up there to greet you at the gates of heaven, along with your mama and everybody who preceded you.
Amen. I'll be doing officiating her memorial, and that will be on February the 9th at 1:00 at the convalescent type of senior citizen home where she lived at.
In Visalia,
yeah. The address is 115 West Murray Avenue in Visalia. And we'll be there on the 9th at 1:00. And I'll be officiating her memorial. And so there's all the folks in that big senior citizen home where she lived. It's got nine floors, so there's a lot of people there.
I remember that, having lived in Visalia.
Yeah, and so she lives there. And all these people that live there know Frances. So I'm thinking we're going to have a quite large crowd there.
It'll be quite my pastor dude calls it a graduation party.
A graduation party, yeah. See, and I'm going to be able to preach her funeral. Not her funeral, her home going. Her lifestyle is going to be able to preach her home going. And I want to ask for those of you that's listening to pray that her memorial will reach the heart of these people there. There's a lot of unsaved people at that senior citizen camp where she lives. A lot of them. And so what we want to do is we want her life she lived touch the heart of these people, that they would accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But we have some other prayer requests, Ken. Remember I shared with you the woman that's at our women's home. She has lung cancer. And she contracted the lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. And she's still smoking cigarettes. And so we need for all of you out there to help us pray for Dorothy. Dorothy needs to quit smoking. I don't know how we're going to get her to do that. We had to rush her to the hospital the other night because she could hardly breathe. Doctor told her she got to quit smoking. That's how, you know, she got lung cancer, getting ready to take part of her lung out. She just continued to smoke. And you find that with a lot of people. Smoking cigarettes is one of the most toughest of the addictions, you know, to get rid of. Even when I was using and going through all my drug stuff and all that, the cigarettes was probably the toughest to, you know, to get out of my life. But so pray for Dorothy. And then we have Greg has a kidney and bladder cancer. And he's getting ready to go through an operation. So we're asking for people to pray for a man named Greg that's got kidney and bladder cancer. Monica has leukemia. And she's asking that we have people to pray for her. I have a friend that requested for her name not to be mentioned, but she has cancer. And she's going through an operation for those cancers to be removed. Gabriel, you know, it's funny the way God, not funny, but you know, you can see, you know, how God moves and how he operates. There was a man that called me the other day, and he called me to come pick up some donated items for our thrift store. So when I went out to pick them up and him and I start talking, he starts sharing with me how to, you know, all the medical problems he was having, and he shared with me that he has a cancer in his kidney, and he's getting ready to have an operation. And I told him, I said, Gabriel, I said, I want you to know that this you and I meeting today is not all about these thrift store items. I said, God just used that to connect us together. I said, but the big picture, Gabriel, is your health and your life. And God wants to be your God. He wants to help you. And that's why you and I have connected. And I shared with him about the radio broadcast we have on KRDU to help cancer victims. Pray for them. That there's people out there listening everywhere. And I told him they're going to be praying for you, Gabriel. I said, and to know this for sure. The God of heaven knows you by your first name. He knows every hair on your head. He loves you, and he wants to help you. And that's why he's raising up people to pray for you. And so all of those folk, if some of you could pray for all those folk, I'm sure we're going to hear some great results back from God.
Amen. The fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous avails much, has power like dynamite. Dunamis, the Greek word is. If you've got questions about what Feed My Sheep Ministries does, how you can be involved, how you can add a name to the prayer request list, give Bruce Hood a call in the 559 area code 978-5469. 978-5469. I hope I'm not shutting you down prematurely here, but we're out of time.
When we out of time, we out of time. Man, we'll talk about it next time.
As always, next time. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
Amen.
Bruce Hood, bless you, sir. Drive safe in the fog out there.
Thank you, Ken. And bless you. Bless all you listeners. pray for us, and we'll keep moving through our city.
Amen. And thank you, listener, for joining us for this week's edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.